At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Inclusive Collective, where we bring you news and analysis of the latest in people and workplace culture and share stories and learnings of inclusive people, organizations, and innovation. I am your friend and co-host, Rob Hadley, people and culture strategist specializing in DE&I and people analytics. I am here with also your friend and my friend, Nadia Butt, workplace culture strategist and talent development consultant. Nadia, so good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I love that you said, you know, your friend, our friend, all of the friends. We're here to be everybody's.
All friends.
Know, yeah.
Everyone's
BFFs,
friends.
BFFs. Here we are.
You know what I don't like? I mean, one specific
Give
thing.
Give me the
I'm
list.
I'm not going to go through everything. I don't like the fam thing, right? Like, hey, fam. I don't like when there people are like especially like, if a company is like, hey, fam.
Oh, yeah. It's like, no.
I have that.
Not looking for extra.
Not looking for more. Yeah. It's a special meaning, right? And then it's it deserves its own full word.
Totally.
Family, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So, just another little glimpse into my world, Nadia.
So wait, are you telling me that I can't call you fam?
I just don't want a text of like 10 people
like, with
hey, fam.
Auntie Nadia to your sons.
Exactly.
About that.
Yeah. Someone was like, is that Nadia on the phone? Can I talk to her? speaking of fams, we didn't get to catch up. You were down a couple weeks ago at this point, down in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
The capital of the sometimes great
city. Saw the Capitol building.
Saw the Capitol. Can't miss it, actually, right?
Nice
place.
Yep.
So we were there for the film Ramadan America, which was a production of Rufilion Media. And so that debuted at the Muslim House. There was a watch party there. We never caught up about how that went.
Yeah.
Tell me about how fun it was. Was it awesome?
Yeah, it was so good. So went down to Austin. I would say probably about 200 people, sold out event, like people standing in aisles. It was actually really interesting and cool to see like this many people gathered for, the Muslim House is small but mighty. Mm-hmm. And just really cool to see like so many supporters of the film show up. But also, I will mention for folks that don't know, prior to the screening of Ramadan America, there was another screening happening that evening at South by Southwest for a movie called The Queen of My Dreams, directed by this woman named Fawzia Mirza, who also spoke at the event that I went to. It's a rom-com, The Queen of My Dreams, of a Pakistani Muslim mom and her Canadian-born daughter coming of age in two different eras against the backdrop of a shared obsession with Bollywood fantasy. That movie looks really cool. It's out in theaters right now in Canada, and I can't wait to see it when it comes to America. So that was like really neat because they, so they did some panels and then they shared Ramadan America. And there's so much that I want to talk about, but I'll pause there because I'm talking a lot. So do you want to ask me any specific questions about the event?
No, I mean, so one, did you enjoy the film? Let's start there. Yeah. How good is the film?
It's okay. So I'm biased because of course, like my brother has been working on this for a year. My study is around workplace experiences of American Muslims. So like in many ways, even if it was like terrible, I probably would still love it. But I actually, it's a really high quality film. And for folks that don't know, it's an anthology. So they're basically like Rafilion, our parent company, partnered with ISF, which is the Islamic Scholarship Fund, and had a contest for writers to submit their work. 5 of those were selected. Then 5 directors were chosen to direct the stories. And then that's where kind of the anthology was produced. So, you know, when we think about like what goes into the film, think of like, you know, the set people, think of designers, think of wardrobe. Like we've talked to people who've, right, makeup. Many of these people were American Muslims. So like, I think in total, they had 100+ American Muslims that worked on this film, like this, these 5 stories, this anthologies. So it was incredible. And, you know, I also just like want to remind folks like this study was there was a study that was conducted in the last couple of years that found that less than 2% of speaking characters in major films released between 2017 and through 2019 were Muslim. It also found that more than 1/3 of those characters were depicted as perpetrators of violence, while more than half were shown to be victims. So it's just like a really gross representation of who we are. You know, like we always seem, for some reason, Muslims, particularly like American Muslims that get these like these opportunities to be in films, we're kind of depicted or seen to portray like the terrorists, right? Mm-hmm. Or like some evil Middle Eastern character in the movie, or like there's always like the immigrant sidekick, like with the stereotypical accent, or like the woman who's, you know, portrayed as having absolutely like no rights or like any sort of autonomy. And these are just like false narratives about who we are that, you know, continue to form negative stereotypes and perpetuate bias. And so one thing that like I just looked around the room, and I literally will say this like to the day I die, like I looked around the room and I saw diversity among diversity. Mm-hmm. Like none of us are a monolith of an experience. I'm finding that hold very true in my dissertation, like doctoral work. We all have like a story, you know, some of us are first, second, third, even fourth generation Americans. So it was just like a really, really beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. And we didn't mention that you're the guest today on the show because I am interviewing you.
Yeah, that's right.
But I did want to just, you know, I did want to acknowledge that the whole family was there. So, right. So what did that mean to you all to all be together and experience that together?
Well, so my parents weren't able to make it, but they have seen the movie outside of the time together in Austin. But yeah, like my sister was there. My sister-in-law was there. My niece was there. And then we had several, you know, family friends that were able to come in. But I would actually say like the majority of the people I did not know. Yeah. They were, you know, whether they played a part in the movie or whether they were friends of people or just people who are really interested in, you know, film and Hollywood representation. I don't know if people watch Schitt's Creek at all. It's one of my favorite TV shows. But Ray, who his name on the show Schitt's Creek is Ray, he's played by the actor Rizwan Manji. He's actually in one of the short films in Ramadan America, as is his son, who stars in one of the movies. So they were there. Their family had like such a huge night that night because Rizwan's daughter, she's in that movie, Queen of My Dreams.
Oh, wow.
So it was like really special for them, I would imagine. Yeah, like I said, it was like diversity among diversity. And actually, Rob, it was like the first time in a very long time that I think you know this about me. I don't like going into like big crowds. It's just like not my thing. I don't love it. I never have. When I go to a concert, I kind of get freaked out. I don't really love going into the movie theater. I'm just like weird like that. But anyways, maybe I'm not weird. I think a lot of people actually have
that. A lot of people are like that. Yeah.
But I actually felt really safe like in this really small theater. Like it was a small theater and we were all kind of like really
small
packed
in. Small theater with a lot of people.
Small theater with a lot of, I still felt safe. And it was just like really wonderful being, you know, a few days before Ramadan started. I think for me, it was really special. I hope for other Muslims that were there that night, I hope that it was really special for them. I think it was.
Nice.
To be able to see all of these like people that kind of represent who we are playing like real characters and like, you know, so it's just really cool.
Yeah, that is super cool. And thanks for sharing your experience there. We're going to continue to talk about that film and then hopefully be able to give our audience opportunities to see it as well and make sure that they are aware of when that's out. So whether it's in theaters or, you know, hosting things online, I think that everyone that listens to this show would definitely appreciate and really enjoy that film. So yeah, I'm excited.
And actually forgot to tell you, I saw a friendly person to the Inclusive Collective podcast, Aiza Fatima, who you met at the Muslim House at Sundance,
right? In Park City, yeah.
In Park City. And so it was great to meet up with her and see her and chat with her. And she's working on great stuff too. So yeah, you know, we got some members of the Inclusive Collective fam.
Muslim rom-coms are the new hot thing. Right?
I think they're the new hot thing. We have a lot to offer. You know, we're like a funny group of people. So.
Well, awesome. All right, so tell us what else do we got this week?
So this week on Inclusive Collective, folks, we'll discuss the employees' right to disconnect movement. We'll talk about Biden's call for more investment in disability services. Then, Rob, you're going to rant about Iowa's desire to end gender parity. And then I will rave about the anti-DEI proposal pushback from the skin doctors. I bet you're really excited for that one.
Oh, I love the pimple poppers.
Yeah, the pimple poppers. But first, let's get to the deets. Do you want to go ahead with your news story?
Yeah, so this is from HR Dive. The headline was, in the U.S., companies may lead the right to disconnect. So, Nadia, I don't know if I had not been familiar with this movement. So France, Argentina, Ireland, and Australia have all passed right to disconnect laws, giving workers the freedom, or I guess I should say the right, to not respond to their devices after work hours and somehow not be penalized. Nadia.
Yeah.
It seems to me like the entire U.S. economy was shut down if we had something like this here, especially some of the companies I've worked for.
Yeah.
Our work model here is go to the office, socialize, sit in pointless meetings, and then have dinner / you know, if you have kids, put them to bed, and then get your ass back to work on the sofa and watch mindless TV. That's the U.S. That's who we are. So what do you think? What do you think about the right to disconnect?
I think that in theory, it sounds amazing, but in reality, I think it would be really hard to... Because I actually think over the last few years, there has been such a large focus on like work-life balance and like, you know, this like flexibility and like then like even summer Fridays were given to people and, you know, where you took Friday off in the summertime. But like, I don't know. Like I was actually, ironically, I was watching Trevor Noah's more recent stand up on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it, but he talks about like American working culture and he compares it to like several other countries that he's either lived in or visited. And he's like, in my observations, like y'all on a very different level. Like everything we do is so deeply connected to like work and our identity of work. And he was like, you know, you can like walk up to somebody in like France. He was giving this example that you walk up to someone in France and you say like, oh, nice to meet you. Like, what do you do? And they'll answer saying like, oh, you know, I'm a father, I'm a dancer, like I'm a runner, I'm like a hiker, I enjoy time with my family. But here in America, you walk up to someone, you ask them what they do, and they start off with their profession.
Yeah.
And they talk about like
I'm a project manager.
Yeah, like I'm a that's like how you define yourself. And so there's a little bit about, right? Like there's something to be said about that where like we're so ingrained, I think, in our culture to like think about work and be like constantly on our phones and update email. Like could you do that? Like, I don't know. Could you disconnect?
No, I mean, our devices are part of the flexibility that we talk about. We're going to talk about it in our next story as well. Like some of just the fact that we're all, I think the fact that who we are as a country, the work is so ingrained in our identity and everything that we do, that those devices, like we're demanding more flexibility, but devices are part of that, right? So I take my son to soccer practice. I try to schedule calls during that time because I know like I'm just going to be sitting there.
Sure.
But that's valuable to me to be able to take him, right? Both economically and I was going to say sentimentally, but not totally. But it gives me something to do while I'm waiting for an hour and a half, right? And so I don't have to pay someone to drive him there for me.
Sure. Right. So like economic, financially, that totally. But like then the argument could be someone who's thinking about like being present or like mindfulness practices. Right. Like, like
I'm sure those people exist.
Like, are you causing more trauma for your son because you're not paying attention to his games? I don't know.
No, no,
Let's get Sam Wall on the line and ask him.
I mean, so yeah, so there's the, because of who we are, we have to have the flexibility. That's where our devices are part of it. Yeah. But I also remember they, like an event when he was very young, like probably around two, and I had the day off. We were doing something very special with him. I don't know if it was his birthday, but I had taken care of everything. My boss was on board. And then my boss's boss was like just frantically trying to track me down. And they hadn't communicated. So my boss's boss hadn't communicated. And she felt like I should be in something. And so just lit me up for like not being there. And
like not being available for not, or something.
Yeah, for not taking her call on a, you know, a very special day. And that's the kind of shit that is the very unhealthy culture that we have.
Yeah.
And that people are trying to figure out ways to get around that. And so I don't know if you can legislate it because it's just who we are.
It's, right? just who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
I mean, unless you legislate, it becomes policy. And then like there's lawsuits. Like that's how it gets put into place, I think. But like,
yeah, yeah. But we don't, enforce any laws around work.
No,
right.
We
used to work at a company that had a 37 and a half hour work week, right? Which meant absolutely nothing.
No.
And you know, it's not enforced in any particular way. Right?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So I don't know. So anyway, it's just kind of who we are. And some would say that that makes the U.S. economy dynamic, right? We certainly outperform other countries in terms of economic output, but then we have much bigger problems in terms of our own mental health, our own physical health, all aspects of our health. As a society, right? Like are rated much lower than other countries.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be more studies to come of this too. So we should keep an eye on it just because I think it's interesting.
That's a fun one, right?
It's a fun one. It really was. All right. So let me move on to this deed that I have for you. So a few weeks ago, you might recall President Biden gave his State of the Union address.
Oh, barn burner.
Yeah. Right. So in his address, he urged Congress to add funding for Medicaid, home, and community-based services. That following Monday, he included $150 billion bill over 10 years to strengthen and expand Medicaid and community-based services in his budget request for the 2025 fiscal year, which, of course, begins in October. Just to note, and this is according to Disability Scoop, disability service providers have struggled mightily in recent years to hire and retain direct support professionals to assist people with disabilities. As a result, there was a survey of providers from last fall found that nearly half have discontinued offerings and 77% are refusing or are no longer accepting referrals.
Mm.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad we're doing this today, right? So you and I can take a little bit of a victory lap here.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
We said in January, we had a predictions episode and I said that childcare would be an election issue. And then you said, hey, it's bigger, right? It's caregiving in general. And so this was, if you remember, part of the Build Back Better plan that Joe Manchin killed. It was the idea that this is infrastructure. This is who we are as a country. We're an aging country that will experience more disability as we're getting older. And, you know, we need to have the ability to care for our aging population. Almost everyone I know at our age of course, I'm a little bit older than you, are starting to think about this.
Not that much,
our
but
parents.
Yeah.
You know, and you also did a trends podcast where we talked about the cost of work, that people don't care so much about going to the office, but the flexibility allows me to save lots of money on childcare or parent care or whatever kind of care I need if I have someone that I'm supporting that has a disability. So those costs are alarming. And so companies want workers to come to the office, but they have to account for the huge tax on earnings that bringing people to the office represents. Sure. And so, I think it's great. I think it's a winning political issue. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, same. I mean, so this article went on to actually, I just want to share with our listeners, like beyond requesting more investment in home and community-based services, Biden's budget also includes a $200 million increase in spending on special education services, a $10 million more to train special educators and early intervention providers, as well as funding to improve customer service at Social Security Administration. And I laugh a little because my dad recently had to go to the Social Security Administration office to get a copy of his Social Security card because like every other person, I think, laminated theirs when they got when they got their card. And you're just a valid tip to everybody, you're not supposed to laminate your Social Security card.
Mine's not laminated.
Because if you're gonna go try to get your that new ID that is required for traveling in 2025, one of the proofs of ID is Social Security. Anyways, my dad had a long story about going to the office, and the customer service that he received was like, you know, mediocre. He said there was some areas for opportunity. So this is really great to see, like, the improvement of customer service at the Social Security Administration office.
That's great. And I did want to take your check. I want to check in on your Biden temperature, right? So we are now at the point where we have a very clear choice. We have the rematch that no one wanted. And, you know, every week we talk about issues on this show. This is another example, as flawed as Democrats happen to be on a number of issues, not just one in particular. They do support things like child and disability care. The alternative in the very binary world that we live in does not. So give me 30 seconds. How's your temperature? Where's your temperature at right now? What are you thinking about?
It's a no comment. There's still a lot of time between now and November, and the majority of social issues are definitely where I see, like, Biden is definitely like a clear choice. There is still a very large issue at hand, though, that needs to be considered and thought about, which is, for me, the humanitarian crisis occurring in Gaza.
Yeah.
So I have no comment, and anyone who's going to come at me, I've already been come at.
But I think that's in
my social media, so everyone needs to relax.
But I think I like that. Like, that's very succinct. It's like, no comment. I got
no
it.
Comment.
We got a lot of time here.
Yeah.
And there's more things that are things that are important to me.
I
need to see more, right? I need to see more.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, thanks for indulging me.
You know what? My sister has taught me this because she's an elected official. Elected officials have to earn your vote.
Right.
So that's all I'll say is, like, my vote needs to be earned. And so,
All right.
As should everyone else's.
All right. Thanks for that. Thanks for indulging me. I appreciate that. It's a great way to leave it. That's it for the deets this week.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Rants and Raid.
Welcome back, folks. Okay, Rob, we're at that time for Rants and Raves. But actually, before we were going to do Rants and Raves,
right?
You wanted to provide an update to our listeners.
Yeah. So just a real quick notice. I want to make sure that people know what we're up to, right? So some changes in scheduling for this show and some things that you and I are continuing to work on, right? So next week, the podcast, we're going to release a new episode every other week, right? So we'll continue to feature DEI and workplace culture stories with Nadia and Rob analysis, right? The good stuff.
All the good things.
And continue to have amazing guests when we are on this show. And then in the weeks in between the podcast, we'll be focusing on live events. So we'll be doing our LinkedIn Live series starting in early April. And look for more on that on LinkedIn. And then we'll also continue to produce our newsletter monthly on the other week in the month where there's no podcast, right? So there's Inclusive Collective for you every week in some form, fashion, or capacity. We'll just be doing this show every other week going forward.
And if you miss us in the interim, like, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we give our email address at the end of every episode.
I know.
I'll give my phone number if people worry.
If you want to text Rob,
He'll
respond. He has
I'll respond.
That.
I'll take your temperature.
He's not disconnected.
I'm not, exactly. I'm here. I'll take calls. All right. So that's great.
Let's rant. You got to rant first, right?
All right. So just really quickly, I was talking to someone, like an Iowa native, at a party last week. And we're talking about how the fact that Iowa was kind of seen as this Midwestern, becoming progressive state, like as recently as around 2012. I think Obama won the state. Twice. I think he won the state twice.
Okay.
And then in that early 2010 period, I was the only state in the U.S. to explicitly mandate that the state, county, and local decision-making bodies be balanced by gender. And so a very progressive movement there. And that is coming to an end as Governor Kim Reynolds signs a bill that aligns with some broader destruction of gender and race conscious policies across the country. So that law that guarantees gender parity at the decision-making levels is going to be repealed and pulled back. Civil rights advocates worry that the term will lead to fewer opportunities and more hurdles for diverse voices in U.S., in Iowa in particular, because it will, that will happen. And so the state has not reached gender parity, but they said that the time for that type of policy has passed and they're going to take it back. So very, very much Iowa was a place that was becoming more progressive and it's now completely unrecognizable to the folks that are from there.
I'm sad to hear that. I've been to Iowa. Have you been
to
Iowa? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was in. Have you?
All the great states. I've been to all the great states.
I didn't go. I went to Council Bluffs because it's right across the border from Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
And I was in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm sad to hear that. So let's keep an eye on that as well. It's a lot of things we gotta keep an eye on.
If you're from Iowa, call us.
If you're from Iowa, call us. You probably need the help. Okay, well, let's end on a positive note here. So one of my friends, Keely, actually sent this to me, and I'm so glad that she did because, Rob, you're gonna appreciate this. The American Academy of Dermatology last week voted to reject a proposal to end its DEI program. So we covered this story a few weeks ago. You covered this story.
And yeah.
The Academy has been embroiled in DEI-related controversy since February. And this was led by Brian Raphael, a dermatologist in upstate New York, Syracuse, where he links the DEI movement to anti-Semitism and unfair political movements that stifle diversity of thought and creates racist and non-racist binaries. After learning of this initial resolution by Dr. Raphael, a California doctor teamed up with two other dermatologists who really put forth a counter resolution. And this is, quote, opposition to the resolution to dismantle, remove the current American Academy of Dermatology Association Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiative. They also launched a petition to expand rather than end the AAD's DEI initiatives. The petition garnered more than 6,000 signatures. So
yeah,
it's like good news, you know. We got to fight the trolls.
I think it's really indicative of where things are, right? So for that initial resolution, they had about 100 people sign on to the anti-DEI resolution, and they had 6,000 people support
exactly
DEI, right? And that, I think that's where people are. Then certainly in large organizations, that's where people are. Especially people that they're thinking about the future of their institutions, right? And how they're going to grow and how they're going to be more effective, right? In whatever capacity they're trying to be effective in. Yeah. That's where people are. And that's very indicative. So thank you, Nadia, for bringing that up.
Yeah, I thought that would make your day.
That makes my day. The pimple poppers are on board. I love it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's great.
All right. So again, be sure to look for our live events and newsletters here on LinkedIn starting in April. That's it for this week's Inclusive Collective. Just a reminder, if you're looking for DEI and workplace culture strategy consulting, problem solving, or training, you can reach Nadia at nadia@nasconsultants.com, Rob at rob@takanoconsulting.com. Inclusive Collective is a production of Refilion Media and edited by RMFA. We'd love to hear from you. Again, send us your feedback at inclusivecollective@refilion.com. If you miss us on our off weeks, just send us a note. We'll respond. Yeah. Promise. Someone try me. I'll respond. All right. You can also find us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to follow up on LinkedIn so you can subscribe to that newsletter so you don't miss us. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and rate us wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Nadia, stay well.
Be well.